hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's a grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash a crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, y'all.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. You can also catch us over on Blue Sky, where we're just disseminating the Lord's work as we do it. And then, lastly, drop us a line, controlissuespod@gmail.com. And then at this point in the show, we're going to ask the AMC how he's living.
Living well, A-Dub. Not much going on this week. I've been just knee-deep in the NBA. We got the playoffs going. First-round matches are done at this point. So I believe there's a Game 7 today. By the time you hear this, it'll already happen. But Game 7 today between the Warriors and the Rockets. That's between a 2 and a 7 seed. And the Warriors were up 3-1 in the series. Rockets came back, won the next two games, so they're technically on a two-game winning streak. And this game will decide it, but the Warriors are at a disadvantage. One, they've lost the last two games. Two, the Rockets are playing home for Game 7, so they got that double thing going against them. But we shall see if the veterans can pull it out in this Game 7. We've seen Curry do it before in the past, but this is a plucky number 2 seed. A little upstart, but they are ready. They are fighting, and they got that defense and that athleticism. And they just come with that intensity night in and night out. And the size is starting to show. So we shall see what the Warriors can bring to match that. But so far, I would say A-plus for the opening round of the NBA playoffs. It's just been pretty crazy. Like some of the matchups, Lakers got eliminated. It was sad. People were upset at work. But we also realized that there's work to do. It's always tough to have a big trade in the middle of a season and then have that just be the new order of the team, and then also try to make that work within that season to go on and win a championship. So now that they have the big new piece being Luka Doncic, they can start building around him, figuring out how the future of the team should really look. And then so now next year will be like a real fighting chance, as opposed to, you know, this. We're just so happy and excited that we got this newness that we're just thinking that we're going to take the world by storm. There's a lot of predictions for the series with the Lakers that they would win in five. They ended up losing in five, which is awful. They weren't ready, but injuries and all that shit, they're older, they're not big. So they got some work to do to figure out the whole center in that part of that. But yeah, playoffs have been amazing. Really looking forward to the second round, because now we got all the riffraff out of there. Now it's the battle test teams, the real teams, not the teams that squeaked by at the end of the season to jockey for position to barely make it into the playoffs. Now it's just who's actually good. You made it through that first round. People have had time to get used to that playoff intensity, and all the scheming is out there, the scouting. So it's gonna get real crazy, and I'm really looking forward to it. Game one with the Cavs and the Pacers tonight. That's gonna be the shit. So yeah, all basketball. That's pretty much what my life has been: hanging out with the kids and doing that damn thing. My kids have been watching a lot of Paw Patrol lately, so you know it is.
It gets nephew is the same way.
Yeah, so you know it is. But how's your life been, Ado?
Life is a little bit better. You know, I'm going out a little more consistently, albeit, you know, mixing in personal pleasure excursion, such as going to a local bar or something like that, as well as, family outings, of which I am participating in one today. So,
Yes.
going to see a movie with my siblings, my sister's birthday. Speaking of, we're in May, and just a few days into it, I realized that Mermaid has started, and I got to do something. I got to draw something in the sketchbook and upload it. It's been too long since I participated in the drawing event, so trying to get those wheels churning. But speaking of wheels churning, I told you guys that it's been a bit of a struggle, motivating and getting back into my physical activity. Well, I got some news for you. You see, I motivated yesterday. I got it done. I got a new pair of shoes, I had new shorts, had a new bag, which was the big hang up with the whole activity. And yeah, yesterday made it to wild card, man. Made it on time. So I didn't shortchange myself. It was pretty empty. Of course, I get there closer to closing time, but got in, got my rounds in, went about 10 rounds before I took a seat, so I know I got a ways to go before I'm back to doing my normal workouts. But yeah, just got that work in, got those walks in, and feeling great, like feeling all the areas that I worked, which I haven't in several weeks, maybe months at this point in time. But yeah, just trying to kick the engine over and get it going. So that was a big step in the right direction to get more active and finally getting back into beast mode, as they used to say in years past. And I haven't heard anyone say that in a long time. Yeah. Other than
What
that,
is there a new word for beastin', or is that not a thing right now?
is everybody all beasted
I
out?
guess they're beastin' out the whole thing.
No. But I mean, that's a good question.
Maybe it's moved on to something else, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, maybe it's out of our lexicon now. We're not beasting or killing it anymore. We're just living.
We're just surviving now, day to day, just getting through the days.
Got my tax refund, a state refund, because federal, they like to keep your money. And yeah, man. So bought a few things, treating myself. I've been having some good financial habits. I'm seeing my bank account going up instead of breaking even. I'm putting some investment money aside. I'm back to that, trying to get in on this dip and praying for the future. Yeah, man. So got some pillows. I'm excited about those coming because I tore a hole in the cover on one of my pillows. I'm very upset about that. And I had to replace it. And it was just time and circumstance, because in the pre-show, we were talking about targeted ads. And I let AMC know that I have dozens of windows open that are just the targeted ads that I liked and am most interested in, based on the things that I feel that I'm gonna need. So every now and then a situation arises where I can make use of one of those and get a hold of these items that try to find you. Sometimes the products find you, but it's just not the right time. Most of the time, it's been so long that those web pages just disappear. However, sometimes they're still there. So there's a vendor, I think it's called like citizenry.com or something like that. And they have this pillow, and it's like a gradient from white to very dark blue at the bottom. And it's just like the stripes of the increasingly blue color until it gets dark at the bottom. Always wanted them. Finally pulled the trigger. Very excited to get those. At some point, Target stopped selling the liquid death tees that I most enjoyed. Found them on Amazon. Less heavy shit to carry in from the car now. So things are going well. AMC, I'm upgrading. I'm refining. I'm doing the best I can.
How's that gaming been?
Gaming's been fantastic, dude. Like, there are just so many things that are out now. But in addition to that, it's not just the shine and the honeymoon period of new games, because I'm playing the hell out of Expedition 33, still going. I'm over the 30-hour mark. I've revealed the entire map I don't exactly know where I am in the story. Like, I'm still working my way through Act Two, but I'm not sure how far from the conclusion I am. So I'm just doing my normal thing. I got some new accessories and such that allow me to traverse more of the world. So I'm just poking in all the nooks and crannies, looking for all the locations that I can go to or the encounters that I can win, and just trying to gather as much of what's waiting for me in this fantastic world that I possibly can, just training new enemies, building up my characters, not training new enemies, like training myself against new enemies and learning their dodge patterns, their parry patterns. And it continues to be thoroughly satisfying to win a combat encounter in this game. So it's, man, and it's just so beautiful. It's so unique. It's incredibly serious, well-paced, and beautifully acted. And at the same token, it's a little silly sometimes. Like, it's kind of like it gives you a little wink and a nod every now and then, just like, but we're still human beings, like that kind of stuff. Like, the situation is dire, the circumstances are tense, but they're still people. They still enjoy each other's company, and they're trying to enjoy the things in life that make life good while wading through the darkness to hopefully put an end to it. So Expedition 33, one of the it's an outstanding game. I want to reach a conclusion, but I'm not looking forward to it because I don't want the experience to end. I've heard things about end game. I've heard things about New Game Plus, so that's something to look forward to. It might be one of the only games I've New Game Plus'd in ages. I can't remember the last time. Maybe like a Jedi Survivor, I might have started a New Game Plus run just to see like a thing or two here and there, but this might be one that I begin in earnest. Other than that, playing Overwatch 2 with East Single. We got the new season going on with the Doki Watch skins and all this and that. The Gundam skins are out, which look awesome, but I'm can't bring myself to pay $58 for that. And I'll just go wanting, or I'll wait for them to maybe show up in a legendary loot box one day. Maybe I'll get lucky. However, having a blast. It's always interesting to see how the Overwatch community continues to grow and expand with their skill set. So, you learn to recognize the new strategies, the new behaviors, and then once you've seen a good sampling of the shenanigans that people think they're getting up to these days, then you start locking down on it. So, being single, there were some tough days, but there were many more great days. And it's just always awesome working more characters. I think I've figured out what's going on with Winston. And anytime I bring out the Winston, or I feel like the Winston is the way to go, I tend to do exceedingly well. So that's a new tank in my arsenal, a different play style. And I'm pumped about it. Like, you jump in, you drop the bubble, you cause a little mayhem, you get to cover, somebody comes after you. Like, you try to create confusion. And then when somebody splits off, it's like, now I got you. You go chase after them, shocking them the whole way. It's fantastic. So yeah, doing that, working Echo back in the mix now that she has that temporary shield, so that settles the only gripe that I had with her character. And then lastly, man, I've been playing a bunch of season 8 of Diablo 4. I got everything I wanted out of season 7 pretty early, and it was a longer season, I believe. So now we're in season 8, which is a shorter season. I've seen people saying that it's supposed to only be 2 months. And
Might be a good
yeah,
thing for some
it
people.
might be a good thing for most people. Because I mean, the moment this season launched, just Reddit is awash in threads about, oh, it's worst season
Ridiculous.
ever. It's terrible. They ruined it.
Skipping.
I'm
Dead
quitting.
wind.
They care more about the microtransactions than me.
It's a cash grab. A lot of cash grabs.
Grabbing all my cash. I want to spend it, but I don't feel good about it. Yeah, so season eight was not met with open arms. However, mine were. So I'm having a blast with it. I like the slower pace of the leveling in the early goings. I like the increased challenge. Like for the first time since the game came out, I played on hard difficulty because that's about where I felt the right balance of friction and freedom existed, and went on playing from there, hit max level. Now I'm on Torment 2, having a blast. I'm really into the Lair Boss reworks, because that was on top of the seasonal mechanic of there being the special powers that you collect from all the various bosses around the game, which I haven't used yet because I don't want any kind of crazy power going off and making it hard for me to determine how to dial in this necromancer decomposed blight build. But I've played some of the lair bosses, and their movesets are different. Like they do, even when they do some of the same stuff, like now there's a new area of effect. There's something additional on it, or like they do something before, and now there's areas on the ground, or they're doing something new, and it's like, wait, I'm not used to that. Wait, this level of aggression. Like, wait a minute, this frequency. I'm not used to this whole rhythm. It's very awesome to see all these bosses in a new light. We have multiple new lair bosses as well, and even the nightmare dungeon bosses. I feel like those are. It feels like the cadence and the pace of combat is more deliberate, and like it's like a fight now. It isn't just, well, my numbers are higher than yours, so I'm just gonna stand in front of you and steamroll you. Like, I'm sure you can level up and get that back, but if you're taking on the challenges where they meet you and your gear and your skill level, you're going to have something that's more engaging to experience. So having a blast with that. I like the system of how it costs nothing to summon the bosses, so you can fight them as many times as you want. You only have to pay when you defeat them and you want to open their loot. And I don't know if you guys can hear, but they got something going on outside, and they're having a
I can't
blast.
hear
It's
any. I can't hear anything.
been going on for a while, so you know, if you hear anything, maybe they're just excited about all these great games coming. But
Yeah.
yeah, Diablo, I'm cool with the reliquary system. It's
Yeah.
very interesting. I continue to earn the free tokens.
Yeah.
I bought the premium pass, which is
Yeah.
just the same old $10 battle pass. You
Yeah.
get you unlock all four of the reliquaries. So like, yeah, there's instead of there just being one 90 level track of a battle pass, now there's four like stained glass windows, and you pick the one that corresponds to the rewards you want. You take your tokens and you buy exactly the rewards you want when you
But you get
buy.
less platinum coins, Dove.
I didn't even see any platinum coins in Reliquary, so I don't know. I'll have to look at that a bit more, because I was never one.
This is I don't
I
even
know what
know.
you're saying. I know
There's
what you're
just
getting
stuff
at.
I've seen. As I'm just
Yeah.
scrolling through, I'm like, all right, what? That is something somebody's complaining about. That's something somebody's complaining about. Like it's everything, and it's everything and nothing is like what it ultimately comes down to. But keep
Since day one, it's always been, why isn't the battle pass giving me my money back?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, people wanted to pay $10 one time in season one and continue to have their money refunded with each battle pass. That is so, it's so unrealistic. It is so selfish, and nobody wants to hear the truth. I don't understand what's going on. Like, they give you like what, 600 or 700 or something like that. Like, your battle pass is $3. Like, come on. Can they have something in order to continue to pay people to support this game? But some people are like, oh, they don't deserve to get paid. I don't know, man. But I'm having a blast with it. The drop rates have been lower. So there's only been two times since I hit like Paragon 125 and difficulty Torment 2. There's only been a couple times where my inventory was actually full and I needed to go get rid of everything. And in and kind of, I don't know if they mentioned anything about it, but it seems like the Obol vendor has a higher drop rate as well. So it's like they've attacked multiple areas where you're just getting this glut of items. It's like, well, none of this is what I want, and none of it's worth looking at because it's all trash. It's like I go to the Obol vendor and I'll gamble 10 times, and 5 to 7 times out of those turns, it'll be a legendary. Maybe one or two might be an ancestral. I've seen buzz online of people talking about how the ancestral drop rate is too low. Like, I'm getting an ancestral at a pretty steady clip. I got a double greater affix unique. Granted, it doesn't go to my build, but it's like I'm seeing these things dropping. I'm not playing very heavily. I'm not doing crazy activities other than the occasional lair boss, but I'm on Torment 2. I haven't done any yet. And overall, I don't know. I'm having a blast. It's a very simple season. It's very straightforward. The incursions are cool. You go, there's enemies every fucking where. You kill a whole mess of them. You chase Belial around. And oh, Belial. Belial's back here.
That's
See,
right,
I
Blythe is
forgot about
back.
that. Belial is back. And yeah, dude, it's very similar to the Diablo 3 fight. You fight the little Belial out in the incursions, or when he jumps you when you're doing the lair boss fight. So like the first time I fought him is the incursions, and that's whatever. Then I was doing the lair bosses. And then I remembered, like, oh, he's supposed to randomly ambush you, right? And then eventually I opened the chest. He starts talking that shit, shows up. It's like, all right, Belial, let's do this. Fought him, whooped his ass, got the resource I needed. And then I fought the lair boss again, opened the chest again. Belial came back. I was like, why are you doing it again? Took him down. So now I got two of the resource. Then I went and fought the big Belial at his lair. So, and that's the one from the Diablo 3 fight where he's slamming his arm on the ground and like shooting the beam and chasing you around with it. It's back. It's awesome. It's more difficult. It seems like there's more hazards to consider, but it is very much doable. Beat him, got his horde. I was able to pick which of the lair bosses, their loot sets that I wanted the horde to correspond to. So it's an interesting change to the system. Like, all the bosses are refreshed. We have the new bosses. They got rid of the stacking debuff, so that's a thing that people don't have to worry about anymore. And it feels better, man. I'm enjoying the hell out of this. Looking forward to getting more Paragon points in, getting my legendary nodes, getting those tight, because my power is starting to go up and I'm having a blast. But AMC, what have you been playing?
I've been playing, well, two games. Always playing Stardew Valley. That's the girlfriend game. Now family game. Theo started his own farm. Theo and Naomi. It's called Silly Goose Farm. We're all robots on it. Got blue skin, kind of like Smurfs, but we're robots because we got robot eyes.
Your
But it's great.
avatars.
They, what'd you say?
Your avatars.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so it's great because almost like an evolution of how we've played the game. Because so on our very first farm with Marissa and I, in the game you can if you get married you can have kids. So Marissa and I, we get married in the game, we have two kids, it's Theo and Naomi. Got these little baby NPCs running around on our farm. And then we start a second farm, and this time Theo and Naomi create their own characters, and like they'll come in and like just play with us every now and then, but they're their own characters. So now they have their own houses on the farm and everything. So they're growing up on the second farm, and now the third farm is their farm, and we're on their farm. So it's like we're the grandparents living on their property, helping them out get by. So it's great. We've seen the evolution of our kids through Stardew Valley, through the world of gaming. Other thing I've been playing, Lavalav. Always playing that, trying to beat that. In the I'm interested to understand how, because I had one idea of how this game was, how the structure was, and now I'm learning that it's just a completely different structure. In that you had the early early stages where you're playing as each individual character through a storyline. I thought that was the majority of the game. It seems like that was half of the game because now I'm in this chaos realm where I'm now playing as those characters. Well, I started as one, but now I'm finding each character. So very much reminiscent of, Final Fantasy VI, where you got your early portion of the game, then the shit hits the fan with Kefka, and then you got the second portion of the game where you're finding all the heroes, bringing them back together to then do that final run against Kefka. That's pretty much what's going on right now. I'm in this chaos realm, and I'm trying to find all the people again. I have my four-man squad, but I'm learning that there are other characters of the other heroes I played as. They are out in this world, and I can pick and choose who I want to be part of my four-man squad. What's cool on top of that is they have these trials throughout the world, and the trials vary. So you'll go in these caves, and it's kind of like a dungeon crawl experience, except you have different tests, and they're all dependent on each hero. So one of the heroes, I have this robot, and his name is Cube. He's dope. He's from the future storyline, but yeah, he's his trial is the trial of wisdom, and there's no combat in it. It's just all puzzles. It's all puzzle-based, puzzle solving, and the puzzles are like, they're not too tough, but they are tough enough where it takes a second to think about it. And then when I got to the final one I was playing, it was late enough at night for me, and I just was not figuring it out, and I fell asleep, woke up the next day, immediately figured it out and got through it. And it was cool, and I got like I guess an ultimate weapon for the robot character. So it seems that's how the trials work. If you play through them the entire way, you'll get an ultimate weapon for that character, for that hero. So the other one I've come across is I found it's a strength one, but it's really for the martial arts character. And one of the things in his storyline was as he's practicing his different forms of martial arts, he's breaking these boulders. Well, in this strength cave, there's all these different entrances that are blocked by boulders, and the only way to get through them is to figure out the corresponding martial arts technique that you have in your ability range to break that boulder. And so I've come across boulders that I haven't been able to break, but I have noticed that as I level up with that character, I gain new abilities. So I'm assuming that I just have to level up enough to get that skill in order to break that boulder. But the assumption is once I get through all of that, I will find that Shaolin character's ultimate weapon. So it's pretty cool that they have these sprinkled through the world now, as opposed to what was the other game that was before this point. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Like, it's just, I did not expect there to be so much more game to this, but it's fun. I'm glad that they're varying it. It's not like they're all the trials, you just go in there, beat up some guys, you're the final boss at the end of the cave, and then you get your item. It's like there's a different trial, and they are all geared to each individual character. So it's fun finding new heroes and then going through their trials to then see, all right, I got this character, I like him, but now that I got this like ultimate weapon with them, it now makes him a little more viable as opposed to this character. So I'm playing around with that and just enjoying exploring that game until Doom eventually comes. But that's pretty much all I've been playing. A dub, let's take a break, and then we will get into these frothy topics of the week.
Topics of
Topics
the
of the
week.
week. All right, we are back. A dub, do you want to hit us off with that first topic of the week?
Topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week.
Don't mind if I do, sir. Leading off with a bang, one that I think we knew was coming, but everybody just kind of forgot about in the hubbub of all the other news that was going on at the same time. But over this past week, we retreated to a state of play for Borderlands 4, 4,
Four,
4,
four.
4. Yes, Randy Pitchford and the Gearbox crew, they showed up and they showed out. They brought the heat. They gave us the gameplay overview of Borderlands 4 that we've been looking for. We got a bit more in depth with a couple of the character classes. We got to see some of the biomes of the new world. We got some backstory, and we got to see a bevy of additions, updates, improvements to the Borderlands formula that we've all come to know and love. So I'll just get started. Movement abilities, we're seeing an expansion there. In the gameplay overview, we were introduced to the new glide ability. So now we'll be able to jump, get some air, and glide and cover large amounts of terrain. It doesn't look like the glide is limited, so no kind of stamina, no kind of timer or anything. So if you get high enough, you could probably glide across entire regions if you wanted to. They also have that grappling hook, so this is going to be useful in traversing larger verticals than jumping or gliding can allow you to access. It also means that the game doesn't have to use jump pads or any kind of awkward platforming unless, they're trying to hide something from you that they really don't want you to get, but you really need. So you got those abilities going down. There's a lot of sliding happening, and all this stuff can also be used within combat. So it's adding more dimension, it's adding more player freedom and expression. And speaking of expression, Borderlands is all about expressing yourself from the barrel of a gun in the face of a psycho, of a raider psycho. And Borderlands 4 is going to let you do that in more varied and stylish ways this time around. The big change and addition that's coming this time is that the weapons that we've all come to cherish, to hold dearly, the manufacturers that we all look up to and choose sides through the sorting hat of the Borderlands lore, the sorting mask or something of that sort. But now that system is getting a little more nuanced, AMC, because now it's not like you're gonna get the Vlade off, or you're gonna get the Torg, or you're gonna get the Hyperion, and you have to go with your preference of how a particular weapon manufacturer makes their weapons. If you're into Hyperion, you like having those automatic shields that come out when you're aiming down the sights. If you're with Torg, you like to have the alternate fire where you can hit them with the sticky rockets that all explode simultaneously. Or if you're with Malawan, you like to charge it up and get your different kinds of elemental damage going. Well, now, AMC, there's going to be less choosing going on because they have the licensed part system. And what this is going to do is that the more rare or the higher on the rarity tier a weapon is, it's going to spawn with more parts on it. And now with the licensed part system, you can see parts from different manufacturers appearing on the weapons. So you might get a Hyperion shotgun with the shield or something of that matter, but it might have a Torg clip. It might have a Jacob's scope, or like or some kind of underbarrel attachment from Vladoff. And you're gonna see just you're not only gonna see the guns that you're gonna come to know and love, you're going to see them in more variations than we've seen in Borderlands past. So that's pretty awesome. So far, AMC, between the improvements to the weapons, the randomization, the improvements to the traversal system, how are you feeling so far about what's going on with Borderlands 4?
Oh, I am so pumped for this game. I mean, it'll be brought up later in the show, but I totally got all the Destiny vibes from the world of Borderlands while I was playing it in a good way. Just in that, last year we saw with the success of Helldivers 2 and Warhammer Space Marine 2 that people are into this PvE thing. They like that. They like that feel. And they all get a different look. And I like Borderlands is kind of surveyed the landscape and saw the benefits of that. Like I would say the early Borderlands games, they very much felt like single player games that you could invite a homie to jump in to play. And now it seems like they're not fully leaning into it with like weekly challenges and shit. At least they haven't let us know about that yet. But they are leaning into the multiplayer aspect of it. I love it. Like they still got the couch co-op, but they said it's a lot easier to join up with people. They also said that people can control their own difficulties on their end. It'll be interesting to see how that works. Like, is you're just gonna look over and one dude's just one-shotting people, and you're like, wait, what the hell's going on over there? But yeah, like, but basically they just said that it's easier to hop on and play with anybody, anywhere, any place, cross-platform, all that good stuff. So I like that they're leaning into the PvE multiplayer aspect of those games. Just getting with the times. It's a sign. I know that with Borderlands 3, a lot of the criticisms behind it was the fact that it felt like it was a game that was still trapped in Borderlands 2. This is outside the writing, I guess. Maybe that was also part of the writing. But anyways, this does feel like an evolution, at least from that standpoint, as far as what we come to expect from these PvE style of games. So that all looks great. I'm liking the squad, the not squads, the different classes that we've seen so far. They really leaned a little bit more into skill trees, which is pretty cool. And I know I got my minion, so that's an option if I want to go with that mage. But then the other dude looked dope as shit with it with like just that cybernetic warrior. So
That
you kind of
Star
got,
Lord suit.
yeah, exactly. And you can bring out the energy blades, or you just rock the guns, go however you want with it. I do like that variety for that character. So there are definitely benefits. Borderlands always felt like the type of game where I would just play through all the classes anyway. It's very much like Diablo. Like, it's not like a, oh, there's my class and that's my main from here on out. Like, it's
My
very much a
main.
thing. Yeah, that's I just main one class, those dudes in Diablo.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But with Borderlands, like, it does seem like they're really leaning into not only the uniqueness of each class, but even the uniqueness within the builds of each class by having such varieties within the different structures that you could go. And so I'm really enjoying that they are still keeping it fun while also leaning into the customization of the classes and even the weapons, as far as the what you were pointing out when we were watching in the pre-show, just the state of play and how you have all the different companies that you can use to make up one weapon, as opposed to just one company makes the weapon. So they seem to just really be leaning into variety, but in a way that's meaningful and not just random, which was, I guess, the criticism of procedurally generated weapons. And so yeah, they want it to feel unique, but also yeah, to feel like just awesome. And so I think they have a taste of what people want while also knowing what they want the game to be. And those are things that I like. I like that with Diablo. They always know what they're going to be pushing back with the community, but also what they can also provide that the community does want to keep at least certain segments happy while also keeping the game in the realm that they want it to be. And so it seems that that's what they're doing with this Borderlands game. Liking the layout of the worlds, the fact that, as you pointed out, with the gliding, it adds like a whole layer of traversal to Borderlands that you didn't necessarily get with the previous games, at least going back to Borderlands 2. So there's hopefully that will lean a little bit more into the exploration and things like that. I'm liking the robot homie. It's the game has gotten a lot of additions that I think were that will be greatly welcomed while also still feeling very much like Borderlands. We'll see once we get into the character work. Not the voice acting and all that stuff to really see what is grating for people that they may have carried over, but it seems like they've taken a lot of the notes and they've used that to evolve the game in a way that I think will be a little more palatable for the greater audience. And I'm having it. It was interesting enough to me that I am now questioning Yote as a shoo-in for what I will be playing in that fall
Dang.
time.
Dang.
Yeah, it's yeah, Yote was there, and especially with passing over Assassin's Creed Shadows, I knew that samurai itch is going to be even greater now, knowing that there is competition out there, and it's in the lexicon, it's out there, it's in the zeitgeist.
Sitting there.
Yeah, and with Yote coming, that's even more appealing. But as I mentioned to you, I didn't play Borderlands 3, so it's been a damn long time since I played a Borderlands game. This one seems like a big improvement on top of the improvements that they added to Borderlands 3. So it seems like it's going to feel very fresh to jump back into that world. There's also the aspect of that multiplayer, so the knowing that I could hop in. I did miss out. There was a part of me that didn't like missing out on Helldivers 2 last year, seeing you, Grimes, and Ysingle doing a damn thing. So if I see the y'all all up on Borderlands 4 I'm gonna want to be in that. There might be a little bit of FOMO, so there are some factors that are keeping me interested in Borderlands 4 and pulling it more and more to the top of my list as far as games that I might want to play this fall. So, once they announce the other two classes and everything that's involved with them, that might be the deal breaker. But this game looks absolutely awesome. The cell shading looks great on the modern consoles. I can't wait to see what it looks like on that PS5 Pro, A dub.
Oh, you're
And
gonna see it when I
yeah.
stream it.
So yeah, it has a lot going for it. This was I thought it was a great presentation for that game and a good partner showcase. The fact that they didn't go with multiple, like it's a state of play, but the fact that they didn't go with multiple third party games, there won't be that where are all the first party games. Like it was only one game, so you can't say where are the first party games. So I think this is a good way to handle at least a big showcase for a game, as opposed to like having a big showcase for Borderlands and then sprinkling a bunch of smaller titles to then maybe confuse people or leave open the option for people to get confused about what this state of play was going to be, even though you announced it like weeks in advance of what it was going to be. People still show confused when they don't see that first party. So yeah, just focusing on Borderlands 3, I think this will be received better. And I think people who were critical of Borderlands 3, it might be turning them over to come back and jump back in the water, test out the water again, see how it feels. It's nice and warm and fresh in here, so I'm having it. Randy Pitchford showed up in a way that wasn't too grating, I thought. So just a lot of things
He can't even
going
be
well.
there.
Yeah. No magic tricks this time. So yeah, it was good. I was happy with it. You got anything else, A Dub?
I do. I have a bunch of information to kind of flesh out what you were talking about. So with the story, it follows the events of Borderlands 3 when Lilith teleported an entire moon of Pandora to some random place in the universe, and that place ended up being an entire planet where the moon has collided, and it's a planet where there's been like a mechanical order established over the planet. People are being mind controlled, and then when the moon of Pandora crash lands into the planet, then people start waking up, pulling themselves out the matrix, coming over to the cyber psycho side. And this is where the adventure picks up. In the gameplay overview, they gave us Vex the Siren, which is that mage style necromancer character that AMC is all about. She's the siren, basically. She uses her powers to summon doubles, to summon familiars, and do all kinds of other fun things with that offhand that seems to be coming out and going back into hiding whenever she's playing. So I'm looking for some gameplay there. We also have Rafa, who's the exosuit guy, the former TDR soldier. Straight up Star Lord, man. Sometimes he'll pull out those energy blades, start spinning. Got your Whirlwind Barbarian in there for the Diablo players. The mask is doing all kinds of different things. The whole time this is going down, like AMC said, cell shading is looking even more amazing than before. Personally, I feel like they kind of layered some kind of element of realism in their visuals now, to where it doesn't just look like a cel-shaded doll or like a cel-shaded character. It looks more like it almost looks like a clay figurine in a way in certain spots. In gameplay, it still has that traditional Borderlands look that we've all come to know and love, albeit with some noticeably improved lighting, especially in the snow biome, which is one of the four that's going to make up the almost the virtually seamless world that you're going to be exploring in Borderlands. Gearbox has gone on to say that there are virtually no load times, so hinting at maybe open world instead of the kind of hub-based or zone-based situation that was going on in previous games. So fingers crossed there. With multiplayer, you got that couch co-op. You got that drop in, drop out. They're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get into this game and play together. People can have independent level settings and still be in the same game. Everything should be all good. There's cross-play going on, so no excuses. You're on different platforms. You playing on easy, and they're playing on Mayhem. I don't know if it goes that high, but you get the picture. Somebody's playing it in a different way.
Was it
There's
like True Vault Hunter in the previous ones, right, or something like that?
yeah, that's that new game plus,
Yeah,
baby. Well,
okay,
there's True Vault Hunter, and then there's also Mayhem.
yeah. Oh.
And like Mayhem is like the torment difficulties,
Okay.
basically. And then you get your Guardian levels. Oh, see, they didn't say anything about Endgame.
Yeah. I think
I mean,
they said they'll get into it later, so we'll get that
Guardian
in the next
levels,
one.
mayhem. Oh my God, anointed. Well, are we gonna get anointed weapons back? Like, there's a lot still up in the air. I mean, we're still gonna have to go into a deep dive with the remaining two characters, the young black lady and the old white guy.
Sorry to I just wanted to, before we moved on from that thought, what did you think about their breakdown of legendaries wanting to feel more unique and thus
Yes.
being a little more rare?
I mean, I find it interesting that this bit of information is stated not too long after season 8 of Diablo 4 comes out, where they also made a similar move to where it's like, okay, you guys are getting too much stuff. Like, it's kind of defeating the cycle of the game. It undervalues the items themselves. Like, more isn't always better. I've been on that boat for a long time. Season 7 of Diablo, like every 5 minutes, I was back to town just salvaging or selling everything. There were just long periods of time where I couldn't even bring myself to look at anything in my inventory because it's just like, what's the point? I'm just gonna wait for multiple greater fixes because those have to be dropping at some point. And it was a similar thing in Borderlands 3. It was just like, I'm like, my vault, my stash is full of legendaries that I'm never gonna use. Like, I'm just dropping legendaries for each single. When he got back in the game, it's like, hey, you might need this. Ah, this is you went up a few levels. Try this one. Ah, here's this one. Try these two out. See what you like. And it's, I don't know, but season 8 of Diablo, I feel a lot better about it. I'm getting less stuff is dropping, but I'm getting to the meaningful drops still in basically the same clip. And it's just like, it's more quality drops rather than a higher volume. I kind of understood the argument that people have for the greater loot, because the dad gamers and the people who just want to blast the game is just like, hey, you get with the higher drop rate, you get more opportunities at getting like the perfect role. And I'm like, yeah, but you're still just cycling through a bunch of junk. You're spending more time in your inventory. You're spending more time going back and forth to town. And it's like, you don't appreciate anything because you have so much of it. Like, when the drops are fewer, you could still get that perfect role. It's just, you're not going to sift through a sea of garbage to get it. And I hate to use the G word because, the stuff isn't garbage, but I prefer quality over quantity. Like, have this broad, diverse system where anything can drop. You never know what configuration the gun is going to have, but just don't back the dump truck up on me and just dump guns on me all the time. Don't, like, Forza Horizon 5 also had that problem where it's just the rewards are too copious. You don't appreciate any one car because you're always getting a new one. So yeah, that's how I feel about that situation. I know it might probably be on the minority side of the issue, but we gotta. It's too much stuff, man. You can have these loot systems, you can have this diversity, but you can do it without just bathing the player in endless loot. I feel like the people who love the loot baths, they just need to adjust and come to understand that you're gonna get what you want. You just don't need to get a whole bunch of stuff in between to make it feel like you have a greater opportunity. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, pretty much feel similar. That's one of the criticisms I heard about with going into Borderlands 3. It was like whoever I was listening to at that time, but they were saying that they didn't like the fact with the criticism was more about the procedural generation of it all when it came to the weapons. But it was more this idea that there's nothing feels unique because there's not just a I guess like a coveted weapon that you are like you are actively seeking to get. And so I think this, I feel like this is a solution to that because basically what they're saying is when you get that legendary weapon, you will know it because it is super unique, super rare, and just very different from any other weapon that you can get in the game. So I think that is a way to, in a sea of infinite weapons, to have certain weapons stand out above the field. And so yeah, I think that's it's a good take on that with being able to stay true to what they do, which is, you know, their amalgamations of weapons, but then also making sure that every now and then one will pop out that would just be like, what is this? And I am getting rid of everything that I have for this thing. So we'll see how it works out, but it did look pretty cool. Like he was just shooting out rainbow orbs doing like just massive amounts of damage. And so yeah, I'm very curious to see what those legendary items will be when they drop. And I like it. I like this route. And yeah, as being one of the dad gamers, the thing is I'm also just not one of those people that like necessarily is always looking at, well, what's the skin that is in the shop that I don't have that I would have to spend money on? But the idea that's like I want to get this ultimate weapon, but I don't want to play this game as much as other people. Like that never really came as a thought that was like, yeah, so like games should just be geared towards me as opposed to people who put a lot more hours into the thing. And so yeah, it's just you kind of just write it off. It's like if my goal of playing this game is just to get the ultimate weapon, then I feel like my priorities are out of line with like what I enjoy about the game. So it's I think yeah, the structure of making things feel more unique and rare as opposed to just making them just readily available to everybody, I think is a better route to go with, especially these style of games. So yeah, oh, sorry, I had cut you off though. Were there any other tidbits that you wanted to
No,
sprinkle
you're
in
riffing.
there?
It's getting
Yeah.
them. Yeah, only other tidbit is man, there were tidbits. Yeah, because you know in Borderlands, you usually have the three skill trees for each character, and that offers quite a bit of diversity, some options in order to bolster their passive abilities and their active abilities as well. However, what I saw in the gameplay overview with Borderlands 4 is that not only do you have the three skill trees for the characters that define their playstyles, but then those skill trees themselves have two more branching paths. So each, at about halfway through each skill tree, there's three more skill trees per skill tree. So, or two more, I would say, since one would be a full skill tree. And then there's two more options. So you have even more build diversity and build options within a given skill tree instead of having to look over and cross over and cross-pollinate, as some might say. On top of that, there are other kinds of socketable equipment that you can equip onto skills to modify them without having to respec or anything like that. They showed it off with the tiger familiar that the siren can summon and how they can change its abilities and its behavior. And it even further, like they changed the artifact system to now you're equipping this accessory that gives you bonuses depending on which weapon manufacturer you're using. So you can further enhance the benefits and the play style of a given weapon by having this additional accessory on top of that. And then from there, they go on to say that the grenade slot is now doing multiple jobs where it's just a slot for heavy weapons and ordnance. So let me see. Borderlands 4 features lower chance for legendary drops, which we discuss, the dense new skill trees, and so much more. The rep kit. And the rep kit gear will have players choosing between a quick revive and temporary combat buff, while ordinances give fans the option to fill a cooldown weapon slot with either grenades or unique heavy weapons. This also includes rocket launchers. This includes like shoulder mounted machine guns on your chest, just double barreling. So there's a lot of improvement. There's a lot of expansion. There's a lot of additions going on. Like we didn't even really get into the individual class skills. of the characters. So there's still that, and there's still the various ways in which the accessories and equipment can modify their behavior and the interaction with their abilities. There's just, for as much as Gearbox has shown us with this, it was a good 20 minutes of state of play gameplay overview. There's still so much more on the table. Like, we didn't talk about how the characters have their own personal vehicles, which reflect their style. And we didn't talk about how the writing, seems to not be a step from Borderlands 3. Doesn't seem to be falling from the Borderlands 3 tree, but we shall soon see. However, that does put an interesting position on the table where people, you get in the Borderlands you wanted, you got tired of the writing. So, for better or worse, show up. That's all I got to say about that. But yeah, AMC, you have any other remarks about Borderlands 4, especially considering that the release date was moved up 11 days from September 23rd to September 12th, 12th, 12th.
12. I mean, good. I like that news just because that gives a little bit of room between Borderlands and Ghost of Yote. Realistically, I ain't gonna be done within that time before Ghost of Yote. But at least it gets a, I get a little bit of a head start. So maybe that gives an opportunity to get Ghost of Yote in before the end of the year, just so I can round out that game of the year list for myself. But yeah, I am all hype. Great news if. If they're pushing a game's release date up, that is an even better sign for the state of the game and it going gold before release. So there's just all good signs for what they have for Borderlands, and seems like they've really put a lot of thought into this game and really put a lot of thought in a way where it's like, we can't lose this. We can't lose this franchise. We can't disconnect from the audience that we've grown from the previous games because of, the backlash to the Borderlands 3. So yeah, I like their take on this, and I don't really have much more to say. I did like that. This is one of the few games where you can summon a minion and then interact with it. Like, you could summon your cat and then pet it. So that's not
So
something you see often.
that's going to be your starting class.
I don't know. I mean, I tell you, I gotta see these other classes, because that was definitely something that looked pretty cool. But I mean, those energy blades look dope. So I gotta see what these other two classes, right? They went for.
Other two classes, and they said at launch.
Yeah,
So
so
that kind of
DLC.
open-endedness might be suggesting that, hey, maybe we get another character class or two down the road. We'll
They're
see
gonna
what
figure out
happens.
which character they want to cut from launch and then hold that
Niggle
back to.
and
Yeah.
dime. Oh.
All right. Well, all right.
Well,
Oh, wait.
AMC,
Yeah, sorry. You're saying.
if they're moving up the date for one game that they're putting out, is that somehow indicative of the release date of another game that
You know, we're going to use that as a tease, because we're going to take a break, a dub, and we'll be back more with that with our next topic of the
they're putting
week.
out? Hot topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. All right, we are back, a dub, with our next big topic of the week.
Topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. All right, this one coming by the way of The Verge. Let's see, a dub. Oh, by the way, your boy Tom Warren at The Verge. Let's see. This is a big one, a dub. Grand Theft Auto 6 release date delayed to May 2026. Six. Six.
I
Let's
called
yeah,
it.
right. Sony calls it. Let's see. Rockstar Games is delaying the highly anticipated release of Grand Theft Auto 6 to May 26th, 2026. The game had originally been planned to release in fall 2025, but Rockstar Games now says the team needs extra time to deliver at the level of quality you expect and deserve. 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 Underdeserved. Let's see.
Undeserved.
Undeserved. The first GTA 6 trailer was revealed in December 2023. Three. Three. And. We got to see some of what was going on, but yeah. Anyways, that's all I'm gonna read here, because we We should get some time to discuss this. Hey, this is a game that you have multiple collector's editions on the way for a game that you are highly anticipating, a game that may have changed your entire fall lineup and now is getting pushed to summer of 2026. How do you feel about this announcement, A-Dub? Are you in shambles? Are you relieved?
Chip.
Are you are you where are you at?
Well, first of all, let's print a correction here. I'm only going to have one collector's edition going, and then I'm going to buy a standard edition of the game to play. Never mind. I might get two collector's editions. Depending on the contents of the collector's edition, Rockstar usually does pretty good collector's editions. Like, I still use my lockbox from GTA 4. I used to have like a one of those money bags with the lock on the zipper. I used to have one of those, but it broke. So I don't have that no more. However, depending on what they put together, I'm more than likely gonna want, I'm gonna want to play around with the stuff, but then I'm also, just for the sake of history and maybe 10, 20, well, 20 years down the line, it's still gonna be selling. Maybe 40 years down the line, if I'm still living. I can pull out that mint condition GTA 6 Collector's Edition and pay for my hospice care with it. Beyond that, yeah, it got delayed to 2026. This bodes extremely well for the remainder of all the games that are pretty much complete and ready to be launched in 2025. So developers and publishers have that breathing room in order to get their products out ahead of what is now a seemingly firm release date for GTA 6. Before, it was very much up in the air. So you couldn't really nail down something without feeling like, well, am I clear of the Grand Theft Auto Blast Zone? Like, is this going to swallow my game? Are we going to succeed? People were worried about Expedition 33 with Oblivion Remake launching like the same day, but
Put it out today.
Expedition 33 floating, maybe
Yep.
even flying. But yeah, so I'll take any opportunity to say something good about Sandfall Interactive and Expedition 33. That game is outstanding. People need to play it. Dude, I gave my brother the money to buy a copy because I was just getting tired of not having anyone to talk to it about or talk about it too. So I was just like, dude, just buy the game, play it. I know money's probably tight for you, but do this. So yeah, he's loving it a lot, which I fully expected. So there you go. A dub seal of approval, E single seal of approval. GTA 6 though, yeah, like I said, we got the firm release date. Well, a firm idea of a release date. Who's to say that it doesn't get delayed again? It's happened before, it could happen again. So other than that,
If you had to wager, A-Dub, what would you say is the reason behind the delay? I know they said they need to work on shit, but what do you think they're working on behind the delay?
I think the biggest deal is that, they're just working on making sure it's as polished
For the
and
Series S,
I am not gonna console war. But no, I think
you think they're getting it ready for the Switch 2? Is that why they delayed it an entire year?
nah, I think
Yeah.
whatever is going on, like, Rockstar knows how their launches have gone in the past. Like, for as it, I love that they have a year-long final polish phase for their games, but for as much time as they put into that specific aspect of development, they tend to launch with some pretty substantial issues on their game. Like, it's not like they have just a laundry list of game-breaking bugs, but there might be one or two things like, oh, you fall through the map when you try to get in your car. Like, it might be some stuff like that they want to iron out. Grand Theft Auto 6 is a significant investment. It's a significant it has to follow up one of the highest selling games of all time. It has to be a step forward. It can't just be an iteration. It has to be an evolution in some meaningful way, maybe not completely. So I imagine Rockstar just wants to have enough time to not crunch while still being able to get this game in the finest shape that they could possibly push it out in. A delay should please a lot of people because, oh, it's not being rushed. They're not just, it's not a money grab. So, yeah, they're taking their time. They said in a public statement that they want to avoid having to crunch for this release. So, 2025 release date, developers crunch, stuff gets past QA that maybe shouldn't have gotten past QA. But now we got the delay. They have plenty of time, and hopefully this is enough runway for them to successfully land this plane. AMC, back to you.
Yeah, no, it was funny when they announced it, just because everybody, like, not everybody, but I've heard it enough. We were like, I don't think it's coming out this year. And you hear it enough, and it's like when the game was immediately announced, when the game was announced immediately, people were like, that ain't gonna be ain't coming out this year. So, there's always that questioning, and then you get to go to Yote, that being announced, and it being like, oh shit, is that a sign that either they know something, or is it also like a worry that, like, well, they just went, and then Rockstar is going to be like, yeah, we're putting out GTA a week before it goes to Yote, and it just envelops that. But then there was the whole thing about, well, what about Borderlands? Borderlands is right there, so they wouldn't do that to Borderlands. But then we get the announcement Borderlands got pushed up, and it's like, oh, maybe they're making room for Borderlands
Yeah.
before GTA comes out, and that none of that ends up coming into play. See, it makes total sense. I mean, as you mentioned, they've had their issues, and I think the big thing being their online infrastructure at launch has never been on par with where they needed to be, with where it eventually got. We saw that with the Red Deads of the past, and with GTA 5 Online. Like that was they had to give us a whole stimulus thing, because that thing was just not
Yeah.
in the shape that it needed to be in at launch. And I think it was even delayed, and then when we eventually got it still wasn't right. But it still eventually went
Didn't
on to
have
become,
heist.
yeah, exactly. They added the heist later. So it's one of those things, but they also, it was so good that it didn't matter. It still got to where they needed it to be, and ended up being the biggest thing in the world. So I think they just want to make sure it's all in line and working properly by the time the game comes out. I know the more pessimistic view would be like, oh, they're holding off because maybe they could sell it for like $150 next year, the way things are going.
The way things are going.
That's what I might be able to nickel and dime a little bit more. But so yeah, it's I'm sure it has a lot to do with they just want it to be in a good state at launch, and they don't feel the need to have to get it out right now. I mean, they put it out at like the end of generations, and then the game just carries over through that generation to eventually be updated with first put like what is it, the first person mode in the later iteration. So they do some fun things with their games that they don't necessarily need to put it out right away, because they're always updating and adding to it. So yeah, take your time. It just creates more room for this year, a year that is already, as we've always discussed, just throughout the year, just a stacked year of games, to the point where you're just having to push things off, having to figure things out as you try to get through things. And we're getting shadow drops. We got a new console coming out this year. It's
Nope.
nuts. And so we could, what I will say is it will be missed that GTA didn't come out this year, but of all the years where we could do without a GTA, it would be this year. So
Yeah.
I think we'll be fine. It'll be a healthy enough year for the gaming community as far as what there is to play and content to discuss. So it's we'll be all right. Rockstar, take your time, give it to us when you're ready, and bring it in the best form, in the best shape possible. Do you have anything else to discuss with this delay, Ada?
Well, some people, they don't get the hype. Don't care how it's delayed, how long it's delayed. They don't even want it to come out.
Never.
We got Troll of the
Troll of the
Week,
week.
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 week,
Week.
week,
Week. Week. Week.
week,
Week.
week,
Week.
week, week. Troll of the Week. Got fewer trolls this week. They're a little more potent, a little more verbose. So bear with me as we get through this pile of shit. First troll says, I've never understood the mass obsession with Rockstar. Generic gameplay that plays itself, blended with mediocre story. I mean, people like what they like. It doesn't bother me. It's just fascinating to see just how big their following has gotten. First of all, it does bother you because you're describing how much you bother you. You're in a thread about a game that you clearly don't rock with, and you're talking about how much you don't rock with it. So, Kid Rock, so generic gameplay that plays itself. What part of GTA plays itself? Where is that? Like when I'm scaling a building and throwing gas grenades in a ventilation system so I can go in and rob a jewelry store. Where is the game playing itself? In that sense, I don't know what's going on with you, but you can figure yourself out. Nextral says it's just another mediocre run-of-the-mill Rockstar game where you're gonna mash X to run, soulless online with predatory microtransactions, never gonna release added single-player content, most likely lackluster cheat codes. Lackluster cheat codes, what is that about? And so, never going to release added single player content. What Grand Theft Auto or Rockstar game has ever been short on single player content to the extent that it needs a supplementary add-on to, fill things out, flesh it out a bit? Soulless online with predatory microtransactions. Well, I mean, tens of millions of people would disagree. And the shark cards, they may not be your cup of tea. Don't buy. Just participate in the freedom of running around in the open world, mashing X to run and having a blast. Lackluster cheat codes. Stop cheating. Number one, just play a game the way it is. I mean, sure, I understand that, oh, cheat codes can add some fun. Have fun with the game first, and then determine whether or not the cheat codes are lackluster.
Unless you're getting that hot coffee, then you cheat code away.
Mod that console. Remove that paste. Last troll says Grand Theft Auto quickly going downhill after two. Switching from top down was the least enjoyable decision for me, so Grand Theft Auto 3 is easily one of the most disappointing games in recent history. It came out in 2001. Fun fact. So I don't really know why anyone would care about Grand Theft Auto 6. Well, it's like, hey, dude, they completely changed up how they're approaching this franchise after Grand Theft Auto 3 trilogy. Once San Andreas was out the door, new Rockstar advanced game engine. They got a new proprietary in-house engine. They got the natural motion euphoria physics. They got facial animation technology that they learned about with Team Bondi and LA Noire. GTA is a much different beast with one of the most healthy and robust online ecosystems that there are in gaming today. People need to wake up. GTA is a big deal. It always will be a big deal. We hear control issues are overly excited for the baby Jesus of gaming to finally be placed in the manger in the Christmas. I don't even know what that's called. What is it? What was that called?
You talking about the manger? What are you talking
The nativity scene.
about?
In
The
the nativity scene of gaming, Grand Theft Auto is that 10-pound, 2-ounce baby Jesus is going to be placed in the manger. We're ready for it. May 26 is the date. Sort of, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. So, AMC, you got anything for these trolls?
Nah, man, I mean, if you're on the fighting end of GTA is overrated, you're just be prepared to hate life come May 26 to the foreseeable future, because it's gonna be all the news. It's gonna be GTA 6. Just GTA 6 came out. GTA sold this many copies. GTA got another update. GTA still killing the game. Like it's
Still number one in NPD. It's Circana.
If you're on the end of I don't like GTA, then you're just not going to enjoy the next year of gaming news because it's going to be all GTA all day, every day. And yeah, I mean, this whole. I mean, they're trying their hardest, A-Dub, to do the Ubi scrub, paint by numbers, empty open world with GTA is yeah, apparently it plays itself now. It's generic. I like that I'm so hardcore of a GTA fan that I only like the top down PC
Yeah.
GTA.
That's when it's the last time it was green.
And it was good when they brought back Chinatown Wars, and then it got bad again. it's the only GTA that they'll play is that top-down angle. So I like that dude just out there fighting the battle to bring it back. I mean, Chinatown Wars was pretty dope, but it's you're gonna have to live in that old realm of GTA because the moment that they went to. I guess the third person over the shoulder view we'll say that game made infinitely more millions of dollars and now like that company is printing money so they will for the fun of it for the novelty of it you'll get your top down view GTA someday maybe that they'll put on the side for you to just run around with but when it comes to time to make that money they're going console-based GTA with that view that everybody likes. So you're just gonna have to live in the past, buddy, with that one, unfortunately.
How crazy would it be if Rockstar did add a top-down camera angle
Oh,
for
just one of
GTA
the
6?
updates? Oh, that'd be great.
No, what if it shipped
Oh, just like at launch with it.
day one? And for fans of the classic GTA, we haven't forgot
Yeah.
about you. And then the camera pulls out and he starts running around. Oh my God.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be nuts.
Yeah.
Now, a guy can dream.
Do you have anything else for these trolls, A-dubs, and their GTA hates?
I mean, May 26, you know what's number one in Circana for the next decade or so. So just get ready, get your therapy animal or whatever you need to make yourself okay with the GTA rain that is coming down on you. Troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of
week,
the week,
troll of the
week,
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 week, week,
week, week,
week, week.
week, 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 week,
All
week,
right, we
week.
are up against the A-Dub. Do you want to do any quick hits or just call it a day and then we can always hit this news later?
One quick hit. It should have been in the where you've been playing section, but Returnal out of nowhere got a PS5 Pro update. According to the statement accompanying the release, this increases resolution tremendously on the Pro, up to 2.5 times more pixels they were talking about. So your boy A-Dub, of course, took a little dip with it, went to the Tower of Sisyphus, and like I can't. Like with everything with the Pro, I can't quite put my finger on exactly what's going on, but it makes a subtle yet noticeable difference. Again, like most games that have a Pro patch or are Pro enhanced, it's just crisper. It's just a cleaner image, and like all my time with Overwatch 2 has really paid off because I'm in Returnal just handling business. Just picking these enemies off, using different weapons, I never used before. Just be like, let's spice it up a bit. And yeah, always a good time. Still one of the finest games ever crafted by human hands now with a little bit more polish to it. So, AMC, how do you feel?
That's awesome to hear. Don't have PS5, so I'm happy for you, but none of this really benefits me. Do you got anything else, A-Dub?
No, that's everything. Well, Hollow Knight Silksong will be playable in September 2025
Yes.
in an Australian museum.
Yeah.
So consumers got to wait just a little bit longer.
Yeah, get your Switch 2 to play that. All right, cool. Microsoft raised their prices. Deal with that.
Yeah.
Titanfall 2, Titanfall 3, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And
More
this was
employees getting laid off.
Those control issues. I am Nate C.
We are control issues. Thanks, sucker.
The harmony.